This is Not Often Heard with Gary Taylor and Mark Stockley.
Hello, friends. It's Gary here.
And I'm Mark, and I'm here as well.
Welcome to another Not Often Heard podcast. Not Often Heard the pod. I forgot. It's been about a month since we've done this one.
I know. You get out of practice, don't you, with these things? It's like riding a bike.
And so this is the show where we get to talk a little bit more in depth about a subject, because our regular Sunday show doesn't quite allow us sometimes.
No, sometimes we get told off if we talk too much, don't we?
Oh, definitely. So this is podcast number 3. And
yes.
We're talking about the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. How exciting is that?
I was really looking forward to it. I was a little bit apprehensive, but was looking forward to it. And it was quite exciting, actually, in the sort of like hour leading up to 8 p.m. yesterday.
And it's been a long time coming, this has, because I've seen news articles that were around sort of 3 or 4 years ago, where we'd got rumours that they wanted to produce a UK drag race. And Jonathan Ross had actually bought the rights to it.
Yes, I remember reading something about Jonathan Ross as well.
I have no idea if that was actually true or not. But yes, that was the rumour at the time, that Jonathan Ross had seen it and wanted to try and produce a UK version in collaboration with Ru.
Yes.
Sadly, didn't work out. So what we have got is a proper Drag Race show with all the trimmings, but with a little bit of a British twist.
Yeah. It is exactly what you just said. It is essentially, I think, Drag Race, but done and filmed in the UK with British drag queens, with some British presenters, but with RuPaul and Michelle Visage, who I think are really too important not to have in.
Yes, they are synonymous with Drag Race now. So we have a fresh batch of queens. So I'll quickly run through them for those who are the uninitiated. You never know, we might have somebody listening who's discovering Drag Race for the first time. So we have Bagger Chips, who's from London, Blue Hydrangea from Belfast, Davina DiCampo from West Yorkshire.
Oh yes, I've got a bit of info on Davina.
Oh, do you want to do it now, or should we come back to it?
Well, I one of my colleagues is an ex-colleague of Davina DiCampo, or DDC. My colleague says that absolutely fantastic person, such a joy to work with.
Oh, that's nice to hear that. That it's not, you know, they genuinely are, for somebody who knows them outside of kind of the screen persona. Yeah, it's just
indeed.
They're a really nice person.
Despite the laugh.
We've also got Crystal, who's originally from Canada. So as soon as I heard the accent, I was a bit,
excuse me.
What's this? This is Drag Race UK. What's going on here? But apparently his mother is a Brit, so he does have dual nationality. So
okay,
we'll give him a pass on that one. Something Wong from Birmingham. I just love the name.
It is great. It's funny.
It's amazing. Cheryl Hole from Essex.
Yeah.
Gothy Kendall from Leicester. Vinegar Strokes from London. Scaredy Cat from Wiltshire. And The Vivian from Liverpool.
Liverpool.
So we had... it was basically, the setup is pretty much the same, isn't it, as UK. So we have a mini challenge and a maxi challenge.
Indeed.
And as always, we're at the beginning of a new season. The mini challenge starts with a photo shoot. So this particular one was about beheading, wasn't it?
Yeah, channeling Anne Boleyn.
Yes. So they were like to pose against a backdrop, and then their heads was green screened out.
Yeah.
So as a first challenge, what did you think?
I thought it was okay. An interesting thing to do, and you could tell that a lot of the queens had never done anything like that before.
Yes, there was a few nervous faces.
Yeah.
Around. Some of them, you know how they had to come up with a witty line to say as part of their kind of live photo, as it was. I thought that the one that had, that won it in particular, and spoilers here, so if you haven't seen the episode, you perhaps should go back and watch it now. I'm trying to think who it was now. I know which one it was. It was the one from it was Scaredy Cat, wasn't it?
That's right, yes.
Who said they were essing, can we swear? We better not swear, just in case. Essing themselves.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's not that funny, really.
No, it wasn't, but the pose was a little like the head was dropping from underneath her skirt, didn't it?
Yes, I kind of get that one. I kind of like Sun Ting Wong, who was basically sucking their own breast.
Yes.
you know, like you do. I'm trying to think of who else there was that had like a memorable line on that. You know, Gothy Kendall talked about and giving like better head than any of the other girls here or something.
Yes.
But delivered in such a deadpan way.
Yeah. And then Rue was like, oh, are you going to say it in another way? Yeah. And, you know, and she tried again and she was exactly the same. And then she went, why not try to pep it up a bit? And she said it again and Rue was like, oh, so you are just going to say it like that then.
You're just going to do that. Okay. It was the nerves of Gothy Kendall were coming through. It just looked like they couldn't get past it.
Rabbit in headlights.
Definitely. So then that was followed by a maxi challenge where we got some looks, basically it was two runway looks, wasn't it?
Yeah. The queen of their hometown.
Yep. And then copying a famous Queen Elizabeth pose.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth realness.
some very inspiring designs there.
Oh, I mean, there were some really good looks, and I think the hunting queen was really good. But for me, the standouts were the stamp and the coin.
Yes, absolutely. And it was a triumph of costume, I think, for those, because it was so out of the box.
Yes, definitely. To me, that is what drag is about.
Yeah, about pushing the envelope, going a little bit further than that.
Yes.
In general, if we're talking in general about the show, I enjoyed it. I laughed a lot, and RuPaul seemed to laugh a lot as well.
Yeah, I laughed a lot. I thought, I know we're going to talk a little bit about Alan later, but I thought he was good value. I just hope that Rue and Michelle don't make a habit of all the Mockney accents, because I think they'll get quite old quite quick.
Yes, that was a little bit grating towards the end.
Yeah.
So yes, I agree. I hope they drop that. And this was just the newness of the show and hey, we're in the UK. So let's move on to talk about the Queen specifically. Now, was there any Queen that stood out for you on that episode?
I wouldn't say that any really stood out. There were some that I did enjoy. I did think Sun Ting Wong was really good with her, both the Queen of her hometown look and the Queen Elizabeth look with the stamp. I was taken with DDC, Divina De Campo.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I thought when they do their piece to cameras as well, when they're like kind of like narrating their little
confessionals and all that.
I thought that she came across really well in those situations as well. Very kind of like real and down to earth and genuine.
I would agree. Sun Ting Wong, really just the best for me in terms of, like you said, the stamp outfit, but also the personality. Very, very much reminded me of Jiggly Caliente.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
That kind of vein. But in terms of, I had kind of had high expectations for Bag of Chips as well. And didn't really hit the mark. I mean, we could see from the preview video that we knew Bag of Chips was going to be a bit crude and rude. But I felt that perhaps it was a little bit too rude. I was like, oof, I'm not sure you'd be able to get away with that in America.
Yeah.
I think mainstream TV.
I think in general, it was a lot filthier, wasn't it? let's face it, it was.
But basically, we had the word minge mentioned within the first two minutes.
Th- there were several F words and all sorts, wasn't there? Lots of swearing. I thought not only, I mean, you know, I'm not a prude. Swearing really doesn't bother me. but there was also quite a bit of crudeness. Again, I'm not a prude. I was amused by a lot of it. But sometimes it made me realise, actually, there is a big difference between drag queens in UK and drag queens in the US in that respect.
Yes, absolutely.
Or certainly how they present on the show anyway.
Yes. When you look at this crop of queens, I honestly can't say any of them are going for pageant look to me.
No, not at all. I mean, there was Crystal, who is the Canadian. Mm. She doesn't even shave her chest or her armpits.
I know. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I did expect Michelle to say something about that. But
I thought there was going to be a read.
Yeah, but clearly, I mean, she did say, I think, in one of her little things when they were in the workroom, that she was like, I like the UK drag scene. You can push the boundaries. I don't have to be all smooth. I can have my hairy chest, my hairy armpits, and nobody really bats an eyelid, because the drag scene in the UK is a bit more about pushing boundaries.
Definitely. And yet you're right. A lot of them more caricatures, not so pageant, which is a nice change, I suppose. But it does concern me that they'll all be setting themselves up to be comedy queens, because that is a lot what drag is based around in the UK, isn't it?
It is. It's based a lot around comedy. And I thought, obviously I won't say who was in the lip sync, but in the lip sync, I thought that the two queens that were performing, you could tell that they weren't used to lip syncing. I think, because it's not something that UK drag queens do very often. They are more likely to be live performers and actually sing.
Yes, agreed. And that showed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because they should know what they're getting into when they come on this show. Mm. But, you know, we'll cut them some slack. It's the first episode. They didn't really know what to expect.
Yes. One last thing about the lip sync at the end. I was kind of hoping, with it being a UK version of the show, that we'd get some better music to lip sync to. And that was an awful song.
Absolutely agree. I was sitting watching and going, why have we not got some Hazel Dean or something?
I know. Where's the ABBA?
Yeah. I mean, it should be, for me, it should be classic gay 80s pop. Is what they should be going in with.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, Scaredy Cat, not even gay.
No.
And had only been performing for had never performed, but had only been doing drag for 7 months.
Yes.
Or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and apparently...
That's
amazing. And his girlfriend, I think, drags up or dresses up as well.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard of female drag queens as well. Hmm. I don't know if you'd seen Drag SOS on Channel 4 recently.
I did, and I didn't like it.
Did you not?
I didn't like the series.
I quite like it, but there was a female drag queen, and that wasn't a Titty Bang.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I felt, side note, but the problem with that series was too much on playing on the heartstrings. It was a bit X Factor, My Grandma's Gonna Die kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not up for that. No. I'm glad that they didn't the queens didn't really delve too much into that side of things.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a little bit of personal stuff shared in the workroom, obviously. But that's normal, but it wasn't too bad at this stage. We're only on episode one, though. The other standout for me, I think, was the Vivian from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Who so reminded me of Lily Savage, that kind of scouse, kind of crude drag queen.
Yeah, I think the thing about the Vivian that I think I didn't take to was when she was in boy mode in the piece to cameras again, I just couldn't get away from her extraordinarily white teeth.
Oh, because they're fake veneers or something, aren't
they? Yeah, and I was just like, oh, they're very distracting.
They slot in.
Yeah.
So, but what I did think was a mistake by the Vivian, perhaps, was doing the Kim Woodburn impression on the very first episode.
Really, do you think?
Because she does a good one.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, save it for Snatch Game. Save it. Don't, you know,
Yes.
You know, don't go blowing all your tricks in the first episode. you need to save some ammunition for Snatch Game to wow them. Because if you do Kim Woodburn in Snatch Game now, Rue's going to be like, yeah, I've heard you do this. You did this in the first challenge. It's nothing new.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, it says on Vivian's bio that she does Cilla Black, Donald Trump, whatever. She can do loads. So scope there.
Yes, definitely.
Let us move on to the judges.
Okay.
So obviously we had Rue and Michelle Visage were parachuted in from LA.
Yeah.
And we have Alan Carr doing the kind of Ross / Carson Kressley role.
Yeah.
And Andrew Garfield was the celeb judge. Now, how did you think Alan slotted in into the Ross Carson role?
I thought Alan was really good. His comments made me laugh the most during the judging and the runway looks. And I thought he was good value. And I think, you know, kind of like that sort of like slightly camp, kind of like game man role is one of those things that, you know, yeah, I thought he fitted in really well. And Michelle Visage, she's a self-confessed Anglophile, isn't she? She loves the UK.
Absolutely. So she was in her element, I'm sure.
And yeah.
Probably one of the main driving forces behind getting this into the UK.
It wouldn't surprise me.
When you think about how she's been getting into the British consciousness through Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, Strictly now as well.
Which obviously was... You know, that was we knew exactly when she got cast in Strictly, we were like, okay, you're here to promote RuPaul's Drag Race through that, basically.
Yep.
So, Andrew Garfield, very funny. And you know how on these, when they get these judges in, they often feel like they're just reading off a script. They've got like little cards in front of them that say, you know, say this line, say that line.
Yeah.
I felt that Andrew Garfield wasn't doing that and he was just going off on his own.
Well, yeah, I kind of got the feeling that, you know, when obviously they come onto the runway and they do their looks, the queens do, and the judges all like throw comments and stuff like that. I got the impression that almost like that was completely unscripted. Whereas I always thought in the American version, it was a bit more scripted.
Yes, definitely. A lot more, because, you know, you can't always rely on your judges to be witty and off the cuff like that.
No.
But some of his best lines, I've got them written down here. She puts the sex in Essex. She takes the man out of Olivia Colman. And this is less Dame Helen Mirren and more Dame Helen Mirren.
I did read a review, I think it was a review or an article about it, and how Andrew Garfield said, like, it was almost like he forgot he was on Drag Race a few times and veered into inside the actor's studio. You know, you have to use nerves as a tailwind. ride the tailwind of nerves.
So I think a strong judging panel to kick us off.
I mean, it's clear why they went for Andrew Garfield, because he's recognisable in America as well. And, you know, they've shown that Maisie Williams is in the next episode, isn't she, as a celebrity judge. And she's known to American audiences as well through Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Very canny in their choices, aren't they?
Definitely. So do we think the show was British enough in this incarnation?
I think the Britishness comes from the Queens, really. Because everything else, it was basically just transplanted from the States to here, really.
Yes. So we had the British humour, obviously the British Queens, as you said, references to royalty and, you know, the palace guards, off with their heads.
The Brit crew
as well. So lots of British elements there. But to play devil's advocate, it did feel a bit cookie cutter. As you mentioned earlier, if I didn't know, I would have looked at that program and gone, well, that's the LA studio.
It looked exactly identical, didn't it? I was going to say the runway, the stage, the judging panel, the workroom, it all looked the same.
Yeah, and it does make me wonder, well, was it really easier to fly Michelle and Rezaj and Rue over to the London, recreate the whole entire set and everything, than flying eight queens over to LA for 3 weeks or whatever it takes to film this series? It just seemed like a lot of effort to go to, and in a way, to be honest, I was slightly disappointed that they went with such a carbon copy of the set.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why they did it, to make it, as you say, instantly recognisable. And you can say, oh, that's Drag Race.
I suppose it's a brand. And like, you know, you can walk into a Starbucks and a lot of Starbucks will look the same because they use the same furniture and stuff.
Yeah, and it is a brand. Drag Race is a global brand these days, isn't it? You know, we've had Drag Race Thailand. There's going to be one in Canada and Australia. They're going to be cropping up all over, aren't they?
True. And the thing is, if they all look the same, then I don't know. Is that pushing it too far?
Maybe. I've not seen any of the Thailand season, so I don't know.
No, I believe that does look a bit different.
Yeah.
But it does wonder, were they worried that Drag Race UK couldn't stand completely on its own two feet and so needed those familiar elements in terms of the set? And you know, and obviously you've got Rue and Michelle as well. Which is the only spin-off, I believe, that's actually getting them.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't do Thailand. They have no plans to do Canada. So it won't be called RuPaul's Drag Race. It'll just be called Drag Race Canada, I believe.
Okay.
And I believe Australia will be the same thing. I don't think Rue is actually being, involved personally.
I wonder then if that's, again, Michelle Visage's input and saying, come on, Rue, you've got to do it. You'll love it. The British Queens are great. We'll have a fantastic time.
Yeah, that could be it.
Mm.
Because it does feel like they can let their hair down a little bit more with this series, because you can be more rude.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it's also streaming as well, so it's not just kind of like on normal telly.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
Although it is in America, it is being shown on Logo, I believe.
Is it?
Yes, okay. It's about sort of a week behind. It's on WOW Presents Plus. Like the same time it gets released in the UK, gets released online in America. Then about a week or so later, it actually shown on TV on Logo, which is the original home of Drag Race, of course.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I do wonder, though, I'd be interested to see when it does get shown on Logo, how much they actually cut out.
Do you think they'll cut a lot out?
Or just bleep, or, you know, for the swearing and stuff? Or...
I mean, I do think they'll have to edit it down, otherwise it's going to be like on for like 2.5 hours in the States with all the ad breaks, because I mean it was a full 62 minutes of actual proper content, really, apart from the opening and ending credits. You know, it was good value in that respect, because the normal US show you normally get about 45-50 minutes, and you know that, you know, when it's broadcast in the States, that's about an hour and a half's worth of telly.
Yes, that's true. They have been expanding slightly. I've noticed some episodes have been creeping up towards an hour on the last series or so.
And hasn't that felt a bit bloated, though? I think we mentioned that
a
few weeks ago on the radio show.
Too much filler. Move on.
Whereas on the UK version, the kind of like the chat that the Queens had, the judging and when all the safe contestants were sent away and things like that, that's not usually in the main US program, is it? They have the Untucked series that goes like behind the scenes sort of thing.
Yeah, so that was all included in this part of
the
UK one. You got a few snatches of the Queens backstage.
Yeah. And then practicing for the lip sync as well.
Yes, it's nice to see those little bits. Instead of having to sit through a whole separate half hour show.
Yeah.
It helped it zip along nicely. So to kind of sum up then, do we think it was a successful launch for the franchise?
Yes, I do think so. And I think, you know, reading a few reviews, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I think people liked the humour. They liked generally a lot of the queens. They thought it retained the spirit of like the Drag Race spirit, but had that an essential like campy Britishness to it, I think.
Yes, I agree. They've picked a really good batch of queens that really play well to the British audience and are familiar in that sense of that this is what we expect from a drag queen.
Yeah.
And like you said, and I know I kind of slated it earlier saying, well, it's a bit cookie cutter, but the familiar elements meant, you know, there was a certain shorthand. You're like, okay, we know this is the workroom. We know that's the runway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you could just crack on with stuff because you know the setup. So as an existing viewer, you could quickly settle in and get going with it.
Indeed.
So exciting launch. I hope it continues to do really well. We will continue to talk about it, I'm sure, on the regular radio show.
Definitely.
So don't forget, you can join us each Sunday, midday till 1 p.m. on reachonair.com for Not Often Heard, where we play amazing tracks that you just simply do not get to hear that often anymore. Sadly, we've come to the end of this pod. Remember to say pod this time.
Yeah, end of episode 3.
We do hope you will join us again for another pod when we get round to recording it.
Indeed. So, isn't it Junior Eurovision soon? I'm sure we'll do something for that.
Oh, definitely. We'll sort out something. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Right. So until next time, just remember to say thank you for listening. It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.